From WXXI News, this is the Summer of Food on Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made on the road, on the New York State Thruway specifically. On a trip heading back to Rochester from downstate, maybe you get hungry in the car and you decide to stop for a bite. You're nearing the Utica exit, and instead of fast food at a thruway rest stop, you decide it's time to try something different. So you pull off the exit and you find yourself in downtown Utica, a city that's in the middle of a revitalization. There are new restaurants, coffee shops, and it's an up-and-coming scene. Well, in his blog, The Urban Phoenix, writer Arian Horbovitz says, if someone comes to me and asks, where should I go for an amazing dinner in New York State, I'm going to answer with perhaps the most surprising city. Utica. We'll talk about the hidden and not-so-hidden gems in Utica and a number of other cities off the thruway from Albany to Buffalo this hour. And we'll talk about how these spots are sources of local pride for residents. So what can thruway tourism bring to cities? And where do you recommend your fellow travelers go? My guests this hour are taking a road trip with us. Along with us, listeners, you can join us. And in the studio today, Arian Horbovitz, the creator of the Urban Phoenix blog. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Chris Clemens, creator of the Exploring Upstate blog. Welcome to you.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Listeners, you can join this conversation and share your favorite places along the thruway. It's 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI. That's 263-9994. You can email your favorite places to connections@WXXI.org. And you can find me on Twitter at mmacmedia. Now, we do have a few rules. So we should get our rules out there so listeners know how to participate. We've decided that the places we're stopping are about 5 minutes off the thruway. Mm-hmm. We can make some exceptions here or there. I know Arian and Chris already have exceptions, so these places better be good, guys.
You won't be disappointed.
And I should say also that this conversation came to light because I was driving back from downstate. And I was looking to stop somewhere, so I sent both of them a message, and they sent me this laundry list of places.
I think there were like 18 restaurants
there
we suggested,
so many.
Right?
I was rereading that whole string of messages this morning in preparation.
It was great. I ended up in Utica, so we can talk about Utica once.
Excellent.
Good choice.
Excellent.
Yes, thanks.
That's my jam.
It was a great time. So let's start in Albany. I know that we don't have a ton of examples from Albany, but as you've been exploring New York State, have you found any hidden gems down in Albany?
So funny, it's a terrible place to start. I haven't found a whole lot of places in Albany, you know, that I typically stop at. I'm going to kind of defer to Chris on this one. Schenectady is my jam. I think Schenectady is doing some amazing things. It's not that I haven't found anything in Albany that I don't like. It's just that I haven't spent a ton of time there, to be perfectly honest.
That's fair. I should tell you why we've got music on in the background. Every time we head to a new city, we're hearing a new road trip song. So right now, Billy Ocean's in Albany and moving towards Schenectady with us. Sorry, guys. I like terrible music.
I love it.
So, Chris, Schenectady or the Albany area?
Yeah, I guess they do sort of sometimes get lumped in together. But the one that I was thinking of in Albany that I have always appreciated is the Cheese Traveler. So I think what we were sort of talking about in our original conversation, which in my mind has set the tone for months of me thinking about all of my choices for this conversation, was sort of a quick, casual thing. So the idea is that we were traveling, we needed something fast, and it wasn't going to be a night out of hours of hanging out. So the Cheese Traveler for me was sort of the one in Albany that I was thinking would be a great spot to jump off and grab a really unique grilled cheese sandwich. I think there are places that have grilled cheese sandwiches. That's pretty much what they do there. So they've got all kinds of different cheeses and a long list. So that was the one that I was thinking of for Albany. But I was also thinking Cider Belly Donuts. Donuts are huge right now.
Yes.
So Cider Belly Donuts in Albany, I think, is also a good stop if you just need a snack or something to pregame the grilled cheese sandwich.
I like that pregame with donuts. Yeah. So, what kind of donuts do they have? I was in Columbus, Ohio recently.
Such a great city.
It was so fun.
Oh my gosh!
I was there for a wedding, and the bride is a food blogger. Check out thespiffycookie.com if you want to check out a new blog.
That's a great name.
And so a lot of the people that we met while we were there were people involved in the culinary scene and food culture. And she had a popsicle stand at her wedding, these gourmet popsicles.
So, that's so
with the
cool.
donuts, you're reminding me of like cool desserts that are taking on a new craft sort of artisan version. So what kind of donuts do they have at this place? What makes them stand out?
Well, so I guess one of the things that I think of when I look at donut places is how Instagrammable they are. And I mean, that's part of the way that I have discovered some of these places is, you know, searching around on Instagram and social media and seeing great pictures of stuff. So they do all these different both yeast and cake donuts that have all kinds of, you know, sprinkles all over and different colors and stuff like that. So.
Well, while we're talking about the box or the donut thing, I got to tell you, I'm getting married in 24 days.
Oh, congratulations.
And we're having a donut wall. Speaking of that, you know, we're doing the donut wall thing where you hang a bunch of donuts on the wall instead of like a cake.
Right.
So, you know, and we have something right here in Rochester, not meaning to kind of go on a tangent here, but Boxcar Donuts, what they've done. We have a lot of great donut places, but I love what that place has done is kind of created, making donuts cool. I think that's a neat thing.
Yeah, they definitely are in right now.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Awesome. We've got a phone call already, so we'll turn to the phones. This is Keith in Farmington, right off the thruway. Go ahead, Keith.
Megan, thanks for taking this so quickly. Two comments. When I travel within the States, if I can, I try to find a White Castle. That's just my weakness. I was in Europe in June for a couple weeks, and we traveled extensively. We stopped on a rest area called Auto Grill. And the food was nothing less than spectacular. They had a chef that would cook food, a very small cafeteria style. You had limited food, but it was incredible. Coffee, you rarely ever saw people take a coffee to go because you're supposed to take the time to drink the coffee.
I love that, yeah.
The food was phenomenal.
Where were you, Keith? Where in Europe?
You want me to tell you?
Is that a dare? Yes.
All right, let's see. We started in Amsterdam, went to Heidelberg, Lucerne, Innsbruck, Venice, Rome, Florence, Monte Carlo, Lyon, Paris, and London.
You must have ate some just unbelievably amazing food.
That's a heck of a trip.
Wow.
The dinners were, like, unbelievable. The beer in Italy is too bitter. They have no idea what iced tea is, though. Even in England, you cannot get fresh fruit iced tea. I was shocked. All came in a bottle that was really crappy. But the food on the highway or whatever they call it was unbelievable. Even the McDonald's had really, really good food.
Okay, great. So, well, thank you, Keith. Thank you. As you head back, it sounds like you're on the road. So if you're back on the thruway, send us an update as you're going along. Thank you.
It's interesting what we were talking about kind of out in the hallways is, you know, the whole idea is to get people into these towns, maybe drive past we all love McDonald's or whatever for that quick stop or whatever, but drive that extra mile or two into the town and find that local place. These are the places that are kind of either maintaining local culture where people have come to meet for sometimes 100 years, or, you know, they're a new place that's revitalizing a neighborhood or a downtown.
Well, it sounds like we're back on the road. I think we're heading toward Troy. One of you is an expert in Troy. Which one of you?
I love Troy. And you know, in a lot of these places, Troy, I'm gonna do this. He's probably better with the diners and the places where you're gonna pop in. I'm gonna tell you a couple places where you can go, and you know, maybe you're on the thruway traveling back from Boston, from New York, with your significant other, okay? And you're gonna want a little more than just I love a diner experience. That's the best way to kind of get a great local flavor, but. What I love in Troy is there's a gentleman named Vic Christopher who took an old abandoned derelict building and turned it into a grocer, a cocktail bar, kind of a farm-to-table eatery, and a couple of other. It is just amazing what is here. And to go down that street, that kind of main street that they have there, and I think it's Front Street in Troy, you can find more food of different varieties, breweries, everything like that. So the cool thing is you can just drive a lot of these on these small city main streets and find so much delicious, authentic food. I think it's great. Schenectady is the same way. I could tell you about five different places in Schenectady, from high-end Aperitivo, which is this, you know, beautiful restaurant. And again, these are places that people don't typically connect with cities. You know, if you ask the average Rochesterian, I've said this a million times, what do you think of Schenectady? Most of them are probably going to say, well, it's a hole. Well, it's not. The fact is, if you go down State Street in Schenectady, there are some streets that rival any kind of vibrancy we have on our any of our main streets here in Rochester. Aperitivo is just amazing. Mexican Radio is a really unique, you know, green and yellow, bright building downtown. You can stop in for some amazing Mexican food. Katie O'Byrne's right near the railroad tracks, near the train station, is a great kind of local pub that you can pop into. And I'm going to say this again, whenever you're at any of these places, eat at the bar. Whether you're alone, whether you're with somebody, go to the bar and talk to the bartender. Talk about what's going on in the town. Because these people, I think we both find that these people want to talk about what's going on in their communities.
Yeah, so I guess one of the things that has set the tone for all of my thoughts about preparing for the show was that the whole idea of what I do with Exploring Upstate is for me to experience new things all the time. So I know that in conversations on social media and prepping for today, a couple people were teasing about, like, Sbarro, I think, was one of the ones.
That was my colleague Juan Vasquez, so let's call it like it is.
I didn't want to call him out by name, but I appreciate you, Ken.
Juan Vasquez.
So... like, and Keith just mentioned on his call, like, White Castle. So there are things that that I think that I really like to experience as a new experience. And just because it's a chain doesn't mean that I don't necessarily want to go to it. Every once in a while, I like junk food, and I'm okay with it.
Yes. But yeah, we're not knocking chains.
Absolutely.
We're just looking at a different way of experiencing cities on this show. So.
Totally. And for me, it's really about having new experiences and getting new things. So I think, like, I was in Kentucky and they had a White Castle, and I thought, I've never had a White Castle. I can't get White Castle in Rochester, so this is an experience that I want to have. So I think when I know both Arian and I are in a new city, it's about experiencing new things that we don't get home, and as a result, I think we've both changed as people and grown for having that experience.
Boy, is that the truth. So I think, you know, too, you know, we're talking, we'll get to it eventually, we talk about Utica. You know, any Utican will tell you, and I spend a lot of time there, they'll tell you that, you know, their food tells a story through history. They've got a lot of iconic dishes, and once again, we'll get there. But you find that in some small way with every community. You know, if I could, I don't know if you have this already queued up, but, you know, Amsterdam, New York, the Amsterdam exit.
We're back on the road, Rob. We're back on the road. some music. There we go. Thank you. Oh, it's got some Gary Newman for us.
I love this. You know, Amsterdam, New York has a place that I absolutely love, and Amsterdam's really, really struggled to find their revival. There's very little happening there, but it's happening slowly, it is. But there is a place that's been there since 1920 called Russo's, and is just outside of the city, and we've both been there, and I had the most fabulous Italian, I love vodka sauce, so homemade vodka sauce in pasta and penne, I think it was. And it was literally the flavor was spot on. It was perfect. They sell their own. They sell their own sauce and everything like that. And it's this place that doesn't look like, frankly, a whole lot from the outside. But I went inside, talked to some people. It was a wonderful experience. And I learned something about the city in the process.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely a very cozy Italian American throwback to like 1950s. Restaurant era. But it feels good. And it's right around the corner from the Dudka's VW bug up on a silo, which is kind of like,
so
that's
great.
How I know I'm in Amsterdam when I see that.
Do you two ever go, do you travel together? Do you experience this? You seem to have been to a lot of the same places. Is that by chance?
We've talked about it. Yeah, it's something we have to do eventually. We come from, I think, slightly different points, which is really cool because it makes our blogs unique, I think, in different ways. I've gone to focusing more on kind of the elements that make a strong city revival, like urban revival. And, you know, and I think we both kind of cross over on some areas.
Yeah, totally.
But, you know, what I love about Chris's blog is he really gets into some of the, he shows all of the unique and interesting places that tell a big story about local history and local culture across New York State. I kind of focus on a few, you know, iconic places that I've kind of locked into. He goes all over, man. I'm such a big fan.
Well, I think that's probably the other part of it, keeping a schedule that will work to get us on the road at the same time.
That's the real trick. Yeah. I think that's going to be the trick going forward.
That's tough. We're seeing some of your feedback come in on, well, lots of your feedback coming in on Twitter, because we've been talking about this for a couple days now and people have been sending their thoughts. Also, the phone is starting to ring. So listeners, if you would like to join our road trip, it's 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Up next on the phones is a call from Bonnie in Rochester. And she's making a very good point about transportation. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Yeah, two points I want to make. One is on transportation. I put my car up a couple years ago for environmental reasons. And in this area we live, you know, it's not too far from Finger Lakes, the places you're talking about.
Right.
But we have something called the regional transportation system that ain't regional. And, you know, it would be really good if some of the towns, and maybe they've already done some of this, who have these things to offer, would get together and talk with the transit people and kind of have to push it to see if they can't, not every day of the week, but that they have some of these places to go to, you know, so maybe people can stay overnight. And you know, we all need to get away from kind of where we permanently live sometime. I think you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's very difficult. If you don't have a car, it's very hard to get out to these places. And I just think it's unfair to people anyway. Number two is, I think I'm right when I say Utica has this incredible, beautiful train station that is based on the old models that still very few still around, but I think they took the community took years to kind of, you know, sparse it up again. It is absolutely gorgeous. I think it's Utica.
It is.
And get off there, and then you could get off. It's just a gorgeous place to be. And so those are my two comments.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thanks.
So Bonnie's my new best friend because, so here's the thing, Bonnie. The reason my knowledge of New York State sometimes is a little spotty is because I also do not own a car. I ditched my car some time ago, and when I travel across the state, most of the time I travel by Amtrak. And Amtrak is a wonderful way to connect with some of these communities that people may not be really familiar with. Utica, Amsterdam, Schenectady, even Troy, if you want to, you know, take a Uber or Lyft a little further north, Albany, Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo. So, you know, if you're anywhere near an Amtrak station, most of these stops are right in the middle of downtown, and you can experience, you know, dozens sometimes of different restaurants within a very short distance of the train station. And it's you know, that makes it a lot of fun for me to travel across the state that way.
A staycation on the Amtrak.
It really is. You know, I've turned friends onto
it. To reference the
Go-Go's. I've turned friends onto it, and they love it. You know, I think once you do it a couple times and you get past the delays, which happen once in a while, it's a great way to see the state.
Going back, going back to Bonnie's point about the train station in Utica, listeners, if you haven't been there, I think it's on your blog, Arian. There are beautiful pictures of the inside of that.
It's stunning.
It's
a camera cannot do it justice. You have to be there. Check it out. Seriously, spend a day trip.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't get there for whatever reason, where can you find the Urban Phoenix blog?
You can find it at theurbanphoenix.com.
Great. And how about Exploring Upstate?
You can find it at exploringupstate.com.
It's pretty simple. Pretty
easy.
I love it.
Very good branding. Yeah.
Wait, got to write that down. Hang on.
No, so I was just going to follow up on Bonnie's point that there are a number of different ways, I think, to reach certain places. And I know, like Arian just mentioned, Amtrak is very specific to cities with Amtrak locations. But from there, I think you can start to get creative in how you reach some of these other places. But it does take a little bit of work. Like if you want to take an Amtrak to Utica and then maybe an Uber to some place that's just, you know, slightly away, it probably isn't financially a good idea to take an Uber to Plattsburgh from Rochester. But I mean, so it might mean taking multiple types of transportation to reach your final destination. And I think that's probably more common in other parts of the world than we're used to here. I think we're very used to having cars, jumping in them. And I know that this is probably one area where Arian and I separate on our feelings, because I love jumping in my car and driving and hitting the road for hours and making it to my destination.
Well, and in fairness, you can see, you know, across New York State, there's a whole swatch, I mean, huge swatch of New York State that obviously isn't covered by rail or bus.
Right.
And, you know, I know you've made a lot of trips down 5 and 20, down that route,
right.
and all the wonderful, wonderful communities that you can see that way. You know, they're unfortunately right now, it is unfortunate that they're just ways that you can't see a lot of the state via public transportation. If you could, that would be really, really cool. But yeah, jumping in your car sometimes to see what we have across the state is a necessity.
Absolutely. Oh, we're back on the road.
The next tune.
Yeah. And next up on the phones is Dan in Farmington, helping to take us to our new destination. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, I grew up in the Tri-City area, Albany, Schenectady, Troy. And you really can't talk about that area without talking about the 3-inch hot dog. Kind of like our garbage plate. There's
yes.
three or four different places that sell. It's a small 3-inch hot dog, like the size of your pinky, on a steam bun with onions, mustard, and Greek meat sauce. And there's three or four different purveyors in the area. And just that, when I go there, that's home for me. I bite into one of those, and it's probably just like people biting into a garbage plate in Rochester.
That's awesome. Thanks, Dan.
Yes.
Where can you find those?
They're at Gus's Hot Dogs is one. There's Hot Dog Charlie's, which has been around for like a long time. My dad used to get 20 of them for a buck when he was young. And then there's Famous Lunch, where the guy used to stack them up on his arm. And we used to say that that's why they tasted so good. You get some of the salty sweat off his arm when you eat them. But now the health department makes them use a metal tray now, so you don't get the same flavor as when I was younger.
That's just a shame.
They took all the fun out of it. Thank you, Dan.
Great
Thanks
call.
For calling in. Yeah, we're still down in the tri-state area.
Yeah, we really haven't gotten out of there yet.
I know.
Yeah.
That says something. Lots of good food down in the tri-state area. Anywhere else we should hit while we're still there?
Oh, go ahead.
I've always loved and wanted to give a shout out to Puzzles Cafe. And bakery
yes.
in Schenectady, and
yes.
and well, the food. So I mean, we talked about like what makes a place that you really want to go. One of the things that I really have always loved about Puzzles is they primarily hire people with developmental disabilities and staff the cafe there. So well, food is something that I always really love as an experience. Adding to it, we've been talking about culture and what makes something really great, and. I can't possibly support the mission behind Puzzles enough.
It really was a neat place. That was the last place I visited on the blog when I visited Schenectady 3 years ago. And I left there feeling so inspired by kind of the mission. And I know the young lady that runs that place, I know what she had to go through to put that together. It was harrowing. I mean, it was unbelievable, some of the adversity that they faced. But also, they told a story of just how welcoming the community was, even other establishments were, that they might, you know, be considered competition with. You know, they shared resources and ideas because, you know, everyone in the community came together and thought this is such a wonderful thing and a beautiful kind of cornerstone for downtown. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And I love that we have places like that here in Rochester, too. I'm thinking of two coffee shops off the top of my head, the Coffee Connections.
Yes.
And
so important.
Coffee Connection. And New City Cafe over in the, goodness.
Parcells.
Thank you. Yes, Parcells. Yeah. I've been there a few times. I love what they're doing there. It's a great mission, way to support the neighborhood. So, listeners, if you're in Rochester or the Finger Lakes area and you can think of more places like that with a great mission, we'd love to hear about them. 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. I want to expand on Dan's point, too, about just once you get a certain piece of food or dish or meal and you just feel at home. For him, it was that 3-inch hot dog. Maybe for a lot of people in the Rochester area, it's the garbage plate. For me, it's Abbott's. I grew up down near the Abbott's on Lake Ontario, so that's my thing. But what about you guys? Chris, do you identify?
That's one of the things that I've always really loved about traveling and food in New York State is that we really do have a ton of culture and cultured food. And I know that it's not 5 minutes off the thruway, but you've got Speedy's
and
Binghamton.
Mm-hmm.
We're breaking the rules.
Yes.
You've got Speedy's in Binghamton.
So
you've
good.
Got the salt potatoes in Syracuse. So you've really got all these regional things that help us define our culture in the regions. And one of my favorite discussions is where upstate New York is and how different regions are, you know, Finger Lakes is separate from Western New York and where that borderline really is. And I think food plays a big part of that. And then on the same side of that, you have different interpretations of that food. So I think exploring that is not only endless, but a lot of fun because of what it means to us personally.
But you haven't answered the question.
Oh.
Wait, if you had to pick one dish that brings you home that you think, this, I'm home.
Yeah, no, it's a garbage plate.
It's a garbage
plate. Yeah, no, it absolutely has to be a garbage plate. Yeah, with a white hot dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was born in Chicago, so deep dish pizza.
Nice.
Deep dish pizza makes me and an old style beer when I'm at Wrigley Field in Chicago watching the Cubs. That's what brings me home. Rochester is obviously my home and probably will be for the rest of my life. And I love garbage plates. My fiance and I get those probably a little more than I'd like to admit. But that you're right. That food that makes you feel like you can connect to your community. Again, you know, I see that so much in Central New York. It's such a huge component there to the local culture.
Up next on the phones is Bob in Rochester. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello there. I want to congratulate you for contributing to the gastronomic wasteland of Rochester. You
Bob,
have a guy on the phone.
Did you call yesterday, Bob?
I did.
I remember you.
These are the two times that I've called in the last 3 or 4 years. The problem is when you have a guy on the railroad who goes past Lyon but doesn't go into Lyon, where there's some of the finest restaurants in the world, or who doesn't go into the Oyster Bar at Grand Central Station, who doesn't experience the wonderful things that communities have to offer that happen not to be adjacent to a railroad, is pathetic.
This is
why Rochester...
Bob, Rochester, this is why we're, is let me a, jump in, Bob. This is why we're having this show, so we can explore new places. So let's approach this. Let's approach this in a productive way and tell us where you're talking about.
In New York? I just mentioned the Oyster Bar.
Sure. What's it called?
In
is
Rochester,
it called the Oyster Bar?
It's called the Oyster Bar.
Okay.
In Grand Central Station. But we can go to the Ben O'Dan.
New York City.
Oh,
gotcha. I didn't realize. Okay.
In Rochester, there has been almost nothing that's excellent. Max is good. Kitchen is good. And beyond that, there isn't a good restaurant in town.
Wow. That's harsh.
I respectfully, completely, 100% disagree with you. I cannot tell you how the number of amazing restaurants that we have in this city, and the ones that have been around for a very long time, and the ones that have popped up in the last 5 years are absolutely phenomenal. I live around the South Wedge. I love the Cub Room. I think the food is phenomenal. What's that?
I said to each his own.
Well, absolutely.
I have been there.
I could say Revelry. I'm hitting high end ones here. I'm talking. There's three restaurants that just opened downtown. Chris, help me out here.
So one of the things that I want to jump in on and talk about was another thought that I had leading up to this, in going back to the conversation that the three of us had months ago about where Megan should go. I threw out the name of a place in Utica that I loved, and I had an awesome experience. And Arian wrote back, he goes, "Oh man, that was not good." I think Bob, I'm going to give you a little bit of credit, Bob, and say the one thing that you've said that I can latch on to is to each their own. And one of the things that's awesome about New York is that we have a ton of really, really great things at all different levels. So one of my very close friends is Chris Lindstrom, who has a blog and podcast called Food About Town. And we've been friends for 6 or 7 years, and we argue the entire 6 or 7 years that we've been friends because we like very different things. And not only do we like very different things, we have very different criteria on how we determine what's great. And sometimes I like diner coffee that was made 3 hours ago and has been sitting on a burner in a tiny little dumpy place in the middle of nowhere. And I'm good with that. And part of the reason I'm good with that is not because of the coffee itself. It's because of the experience that I'm having, the culture that I'm experiencing, and the people that I'm encountering while I'm on that trip. So again, to each their own, you're absolutely right. But my own in this conversation is Rochester has a really, really awesome food scene. And so does Buffalo, actually. And I feel
and Syracuse. Like, Syracuse has it too.
Totally.
And Utica.
So I feel like the national outlets that are writing about all these places can't be completely wrong. So I guess I would challenge you, Bob, to head out a little bit more and try some of these different things.
I do. And to do that, I go to Lyon and I go to New York. And
okay.
So I'm excited to go to Chicago. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing those places with us.
I'm not a garbage plate guy.
That's okay.
That's cool.
Not everybody is.
To each their own.
To each their own. That can be our phrase of the hour.
That's the motto for this one.
It's sad.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks very much. Kristen, if you are still listening, give us a call back. Kristen wants to discuss chicken riggies in Utica.
Oh, yeah.
And I know both of our guests have some thoughts on those. So, Kristen, call back if you can. We are late for our only break of the hour. We're having so much fun. We're seeing some more feedback on Twitter. This is from Sheila. She says, the show is making me hungry. Let's take a short break, have a little snack, and we will get back on the road with you. More Connections next. I'm Megan Mack. Friday on The Next Connections, we're discussing updates to the Inner Loop project. Maybe you've been around the area recently and you've noticed some changes. We'll talk about progress to date and what the future might look like in that area. We'll be joined by representatives from the City of Rochester, The Strong, and local developers. Then in our second hour, the New York Times says creativity is the new cure for a midlife crisis. We'll talk to people exploring their passions. You are listening to Connections and the Talking Heads. This hour, it's the summer of food, and we're talking about spots along the thruway, or just off the thruway, where you can stop and get a bite to eat. And my two guests in studio today have been everywhere, not nowhere, like Talking Heads are saying. Arian Horbovitz is the creator of the Urban Phoenix blog, and Chris Clemens is the creator of the Exploring Upstate blog. And we are just leaving the downstate area, the tri-state area, and heading up to Utica, which is I know is a favorite for both of them.
Oh my goodness, is it ever.
When I was heading back up toward to Rochester, and I did stop in Utica, I stopped at a place called Swifties.
Swifties, yes.
Which was one of your recommendations on a long list. And I had a great time. I had a quesadilla burger, which was a lot of food. Mm-hmm. And not the best thing to sit and eat when you're traveling a long way, but it was delicious. And I also went to a very cool new coffee shop downtown. I can't remember the name of it. It may have just been Utica Coffee Roasters.
Utica Coffee Roasters is, yeah. And I love Utica Coffee Roasters because they were one of the first businesses to move into a downtown that was completely dormant for a very long time. And, you know, it kind of sparked a kind of a new life there. And they had a great business model and did it the right way. They did it small and incrementally, and they've done very, very well there. So, yeah.
And I know that's part of Utica's story. I know that's another reason why both of you have talked a lot about it on your blogs. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris. I know that there's a lot going on there.
No, there's a number of things that I've always found interesting about Utica. And one of it is the fact that at one point they were a humongous powerhouse of a city. And they sort of struggled after a while. And part of that, I think there were a number of different components. I think many historians would probably say some of that was the mafia and the politics and how that all came together. And it was I wasn't around for that, but historically it's really sad to see that happen. But then it's really cool to see a city come together and say, we have a plan and we're going to turn this back around. And as a result, I know their immigrant population is humongous, which has really shaped the culture of the city, which has also really shaped the food culture of the city. So a few years ago, in fact, I think that's probably how Arian and I first connected, was I did a food tour of the Italian food in Utica. And we actually, I went with Chris Lindstrom, we'll mention him again, and we spent the day trying all the different popular Utica classic foods like tomato pie and chicken riggies and Utica greens and pasties and...
Got to do the half-moon cookies, too.
The half-moon cookie, yeah. So it's endless. So one of my favorite things about doing Exploring Upstate is when I say, I'm going to such and such this weekend, and someone says, why? And I can rattle off all this stuff. They're like, oh, my God, I had no idea. It sounds like maybe there's some great stuff to see. And I think Utica is one of those places that's underrated, and people pass it when they shouldn't.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, the thing I like about Utica in the context of this conversation, it always seems to be that halfway point between wherever someone is going across New York State and Rochester.
Yeah, yeah.
So my Rochester friends will kind of always, you know, if they're in Albany, they're come back from New York. It's always that part where point where people seem to get hungry. It's like, I'm just far enough away from Rochester. You know, I'm coming up on Utica. What's there? And of course, anyone that knows me knows my now deep connection with Utica. When I visited there, we had just a wonderful experience and go back there probably once a month on the average. So many restaurant options there just off the thruway. First of all, there are three. If you're looking for a high-end experience, like I said, sometimes I hit those a little bit more kind of when I visit because I'm curious about the farm-to-table restaurant that shows up in the city that has been vacant for so long. It's like, wow, what a contrast that is. And the Tailor and the Cook there is one of the most incredible restaurants. I have sent people there from Rochester just to go there overnight. And every single person I've sent there said that was the best meal they've ever had. And I can concur. They also have another farm-to-table restaurant that just opened, Modus Utica, which is just a little ways down Genesee Street, a little further. And right in between the two is this amazing seafood place called Ocean Blue.
You told me
and
about that.
So another thing that I want to talk about with Ocean Blue, that's open on Sundays. And what I find across New York State is restaurants are fantastic. If you're traveling on Sunday, if you're coming home from New York City, let's say, to Rochester, a lot of these places aren't open. So I think that's always a key thing to kind of check. But, other great places in Utica, Gerber's 1933 Tavern, if you want, you know, just a great kind of the building is awesome. You got the tin roof and everything like that. The food is outstanding. They've got Utica Club on tap if you want to stay a few hours before you continue your drive, obviously. But Utica is a place that, yeah, I mean, you talk about the Riggies, and the first time I was there, I went to their Riggy Fest. And if anybody doesn't know, chicken Riggies is kind of like, how would I explain it? Kind of noodles and chicken, penny pasta and noodles. And there's a spice to it. There's a kick to it. And some do it more than others, but it's each place kind of that does Riggies does kind of a unique feel to it. What are some of your favorite places?
Well, so one of the things that I'm thinking about as you're talking, and again, that I've been thinking about this whole conversation, is I'm always hesitant to say like, hey, Megan, you should go to this place and you should have this item because of Bob is still in my ear. To each their own. And furthermore, I mean, sometimes I struggle with reviews because a place might really be having an on day. The wait staff might be just in a great mood. And then Arian's going to go back the next day or a week later and have the same exact wait staff. And they might be fighting a cold, or they might be tired, or just broke up with somebody and they have a terrible experience. And all of a sudden it goes on to a particular online review restaurant website, and all of a sudden this restaurant is fighting a bad review. Mm. So I think one of the things that's important for this entire conversation is to keep an open mind, and sometimes you have a bad experience at a really great place, and on the same token, it's probably possible to have a really great experience at a not so great place.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I take reviews with
absolutely
a grain of salt. Is that too much of a pun?
You did have a strong pun game on Twitter.
Yes, we were doing that yesterday.
It was awesome.
Like 10:30 last night. It was hilarious. I think that's a really interesting point. And I think the cool thing is that goes along with, I think, what we've found with our cities and our communities. There's so many people that had a bad experience one time 10 years ago in Schenectady, let's say, or in Utica, let's say, and they're going to tell people for 10 years, I had this one bad hour in this place. It's the same with a restaurant. You know, it's funny because the life of these restaurants sometimes mimic the life of their cities, and I think we have the same impressions of our communities across upstate New York, and we have to remember, give things a chance. Give, like you were saying, Chris, give kind of the benefit of the doubt and realize that, you know, one person might come in following you and have a little bit different experience. But don't let that dictate how you see the surrounding area, how you see that restaurant, how you see that one experience. I think that's really important.
I think that's a great point. We are flooded with feedback. So for the remainder of the hour, we're gonna keep heading northwest, but we're gonna try to hear from as many of you as possible. And up next on the phone is Jane in Rochester. Go ahead, Jane.
Hi. Yeah, every year I go to the Auburn show, quilt show.
Yeah.
And I always make sure that I can stop in at Connie's Tex-Mex for amazing Mexican food off State Street.
Awesome. Connie's Tex-Mex in Auburn. Thank you, Jane. Thanks very much.
Yep.
Awesome. Share that with our listeners.
I've heard of that quilt show.
Oh. I have, too.
I heard it's amazing.
I heard about that from the lady. I talked to a quilt shop owner down in... in Geneva. And she was telling me about that. She raved about it. She thought it was great. Yeah, it's a big thing in New York State.
Hmm. So check out the Tex-Mex and the quilts in Auburn. Here's an email from Teal. She says, just this past weekend, I traveled from Rochester to Chautauqua County to visit family. Oh, yeah. One of the perks of the trip is Aunt Millie's in Irving. It's about a mile off the thruway at Silver Spring, exit 58. It's always busy, and if I have time, I get a wonderful home-style meal, generous in portion and always delicious.
Cool.
If I don't have time, I get something from the Even Better Bakery. Every trip, every time, I even went once just to go there. It is not to be missed. So Aunt Millie's in Irving. Thank you for that, Teal. And this is from CT. He says, these places are both in Henrietta, so closer to our area. Mama G's, really tasty Italian food. Mm-hmm. And he also mentioned Sodom Korean. He says that's wonderful.
Yeah, excellent. So. That's right near where I work.
Oh, good. Lunch
it's a fantastic
option.
Place.
Okay, back to the phones. This is Jeff in Victor. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
I've got one that is way off the thruway, however.
It's okay.
Let's do it.
Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a rest. It's called the Pina Colada.
Yeah.
And it is they whip up the pineapple and coconut and then set the rum bottle down next to it and you pour your own rum in.
Oh, wow.
Now, that sounds amazing.
Is that the one that's right on the lake?
This is Cuba Island.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, that is quite far off.
Yes.
I was thinking Cuba, New York.
I was thinking Cuba, New York as well.
We are off the thruway. But that's great. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Load up the passport.
Yeah. It's always good to hear about other places. Thank you for that, Jeff.
I want to give one more recommendation in Utica. If you're passing through there and you want breakfast, you got to do Bite Bakery and Cafe.
Yeah.
Outstanding breakfast and lunch.
All right. Up next on the phones is Roberta in Brighton. And I think this is a response to something Bob said earlier. Remember, our phrase of the show is to each their own. Go ahead, Roberta.
Yes. I just wanted to mention an experience that I had in Grand Central Station at the Oyster Bar that Bob was speaking of with such praise. I had the opposite experience. We got a table, we sat down, and it wasn't that busy, but it took about 45 to 50 minutes to get a dozen oysters shucked.
Man.
They were on plastic plates. They were extremely expensive. The waiter was very curt. I don't know what all the fuss is about. The station is spectacular, but I think you could pass on the oysters. On the other hand, I was really disheartened to hear a kind of snobbishness that I really don't think is warranted in Rochester. And specifically, one of the things, I mean, I cook and bake a lot at home, so I don't eat out as much as I'd like to, but if I want a really wonderful neighborhood meal with a great glass of beer and a terrific and a very inexpensive and a creative twist on things, I'd love Swiftwater, which is in the South Wedge.
Mm-hmm.
And it is unpretentious, and it's got a really nice atmosphere that doesn't have any television sets, so you go in there and you have a great conversation with the people that you come in with. I've gone to quiz night, and that's always a lot of fun too. And again, the food just could not be better. It's ample. It focuses on seasonal things. It's not pretentious. Hats off to Bill Skillern, who I think just does a marvelous job, and the people who own Swiftwater. So that's my comment.
Thank you. Thanks, Roberta.
I love it. You know, one of my favorite places, you know, like you said, to have that kind of unpretentious just neighborhood experience is I love Dickie's near the South Wedge there. There's so many little like neighborhood bars and restaurants in every town, and you know, especially in Rochester here. It's always fun to find those places where it feels a little more like home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess what I'm thinking based on all these other comments is about a couple weeks ago, an experience that I had. For years, I have seen pictures of Akron Falls. And this is very slightly off topic, but humor me. I've seen all these pictures of Akron Falls. It's so beautiful. It's so picturesque. And I grabbed a couple friends of mine, and we got in the car, and we drove to Akron Falls, and it was totally dry.
Oh, no.
It was completely – there was nothing there. It was a tiny little trickle. Oh. And there's guards basically keeping people from getting anywhere close to the falls. And I was super, super bummed. Like, I had this huge expectation that I was going to have this wonderful experience and get this great photo of Akron Falls. And really what I came away with was realizing that I had a great experience with two friends where we hit the road and I didn't get to do exactly what I wanted to, but the idea that I was with my friends and having a new experience and seeing a new place was really the most important part of it. So the caller who just didn't have a great experience, the Oyster Bar, check it off your list. You've been one more place, and
that's
maybe
true.
You don't have to go back, but there's plenty of other places to check out.
That's such a good point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's some more of your feedback. This is Brad on Twitter. He says, in Canandaigua, just 10 minutes south of the Thruway, there are some great local eats. Thai by Night opened there last summer. Yeah. Yum, yum.
So yeah. Good. I love Rio Tomatlan down there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This is Steven. He says, it isn't exactly a restaurant, but just off exit 48A, the same as the Darien Lake exit, is the Cutter Cheese Factory and Store, maker of Yancey's Fancy Artisan Cheeses. There's pepperoni cheese, maple bacon, buffalo wing, cheddar, and other greats.
That buffalo wing is incredible.
Have you guys been everywhere? You know every place.
That's actually one of the places that I stopped after we left Akron Falls, because I'm like, I have to do something.
That place is awesome.
Yeah.
This is Andy. He says, one of my favorite places for inexpensive comfort food is McGee's, just south of the freeway at exit 42
in
Waterloo.
That was on my list. Yeah.
He says it's like a big red barn, can't miss it.
They have those pig wings.
Pig wings, yes. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Is
it deep fried ribs?
It's something like that. Yeah, I've never done them, but just a place where you get just kind of Americana food, just any kind of food. It's your classic diner just off the thruway, and it's just one of those places I love to go every time I stop through that area.
This song is for both of you. Our engineer, Rob, he's saying, you've been everywhere. I think you're lying. I think you have.
Oh, there's plenty left.
Oh, yes.
Always
oh,
more.
Yes.
All right. We don't want to forget Chris Lindstrom, who wrote in on Twitter about a place in Schenectady. Even though we were past, well, let's head back. He says, in another pun style discussion, we've got this one wrapped up. La Mexicana in Schenectady.
Yes.
Combination grocery store and more traditional Mexican fare. Really tasty tacos and tortas. And you can grab some fantastic tamales to go as well. It's a perfect option for road food, relaxing environment, comfort food, and pleasant people.
Is that true? And it's, you know, again, those are the authentic experiences in places that aren't so iconic necessarily, but that everyone in these, you know, in these cities that we visit kind of go and you know, we talk to the people and they say, you got to go to this place that not a whole lot of people know about.
Right.
Well, the thing is, the entire town knows about it,
right.
But they love telling people from outside the town, hey, here's this little hole-in-the-wall place. Here's this place that you might not see off the main drag. And I think we both love being pointed to those places, because that's when you really have the authentic experience. I had something that was so spicy there. It was just unbelievable. It was so, so fulfilling and so good.
Ask the locals. That's advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's plenty of online resources. And before I go to a new place, I'll check online for places. But my favorite thing to do is walk into
a convenience store
after getting gas and saying, where's the best burger in town?
I like to, you know, I take my bike when I do these things. Again, when I take my bike, sometimes I'll even park my bike and walk. The best thing about places like, you know, Utica and Schenectady and cities of that size, for example, is you can walk from one end of downtown to the other end in, you know, and back down a couple other streets in half an hour or an hour. And you can literally hit every street and stop in and say, oh, what is this shop? Oh, what is this restaurant? Whereas Rochester would take you, you know, ages to do something like that. To go to these little places, one of the appeal is you can really have that true walkable experience and see everything that there is in not a long, you know, not a long amount of time. That's kind of the appealing experience that I have. I love getting off the Amtrak train or parking my car and just walking along and finding these places on my own. And like you said, talking to people along the way. It's the best part.
Speaking of the Amtrak, here's some advice from Edward via email. He says he's a big Amtrak fan, and he uses it to visit family in New York City several times a year. And he says, I believe that there are only 3 trains daily in each direction between Rochester and New York, so plan for a long and leisurely meal in Utica because you will have a lot of time to kill waiting for the next train. More time to check out places.
There are 4 each way, but one originates in Chicago and then terminates and it splits in Albany. And anyway, there are 4.
Here's Gabe with a shout out for Michigan Red Hots from his home area of Plattsburgh.
Yeah.
He says, I would stack them up against a garbage plate anytime.
They have a really unique hot dog culture. Actually, New York State, it seems like,
has a hot dog culture.
Each big city seems to have their own hot dog culture, but up north definitely has their own thing.
That's cool. Yeah,
we got the white hot.
The white hot. Dan is recommending Paula's in Kenmore in Tonawanda.
Does that mean, is that donuts?
Paula's
Donuts?
The current location is actually the same location as the former donut magnet Jets.
Yeah.
But it is. Paula's Donuts are
Paula's
rich.
Paula's Donuts is definitely worth the drive.
Split them with friends, he says.
Nah.
So you can try many. Here's one more from Jim. He says, if you get to Ilion, check out the Farmhouse Restaurants, your favorite lunch stop there.
Cool. So I know the Farmhouse, absolutely.
Of course you do.
I've been to the Farmhouse. That's a good place. I can't argue there.
So in our last couple seconds, one place each that we haven't talked about, north of Canandaigua, I guess, northwest of Canandaigua, where do you go?
Oh, my goodness.
Right off the thruway?
Yes.
Are we still?
Yes.
We're not talking about other countries?
Correct. in 5 seconds each, because we're out of time.
Got to give some love to Kitty Hoynes in Syracuse and Armory Square.
Awesome.
A little longer drive, but it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, like, stuck. I'm going to say Duff's in Buffalo because you just mentioned Paula's and that's right up the street. So
okay.
Chicken wings.
Kitty Hoynes in Syracuse, Duff's in Buffalo. Thank you both for being on the program with me today. Arian Horbovitz from the Urban Phoenix and Chris Clemens from Exploring Upstate. Thank you, listeners. Thanks to Rob Braden, Tiana Mignon. I'm Megan Mack, filling in for Evan Dawson. Talk to you tomorrow.